Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin is in Brussels this morning to attend a key meeting of EU leaders with Ukraine. Defence spending and the European economy are all on the agenda, and Volodymyr Zelensky will attend by video conference and will brief leaders on his phone call yesterday with the US President Donald Trump. Well, to discuss all of this, I'm joined by Jack Horgan-Jones, political correspondent with the Irish Times. We'll also speak to Emmanuel Shaz, who's a journalist based in Ukraine, and Dan O'Brien, chief economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs. But Jack, first to you. Defence is a big item, we know, on the agenda there in Brussels. We've heard a lot of tough talk from EU leaders in the run-up to this council meeting, but will action follow today's talks? What are you expecting?
Yes, very much so, Claire. Defence is the issue that is occupying minds most of all here in Brussels. And as the EU leaders gather, they do so in the wake of the publication of a white paper on defence by the Commission yesterday. Now, Micheál Martin was asked about this as he entered into the EU Council meeting this morning. And he seemed to suggest that there wouldn't necessarily be a substantive discussion about the white paper on defence. And that's purely down to the fact that it was published so recently. But there's no getting away from the fairly rapid moves across the bloc towards a greater degree of militarization, and also associated issues such as where European countries will buy their arms. Traditionally, the US arms companies have been large-scale suppliers to European militaries. But one of the questions that's preoccupying minds here in Brussels is tooling up the capacity effectively of the European defence industry to meet Europe's needs. And that's in keeping with a piece where Europe is kind of looking inwards as part of its broader efforts to secure its borders. And the obvious driver for that is the ongoing Russian invasion of Ukraine, and more recently the peace talks, which they're due to get an update from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky later on this afternoon over video call, as you said.
Mm-hmm. What did he have to say, Micheál Martin, on his way in there about tariffs and the EU response to the expected American tariffs on EU goods?
He was kind of typically cautious, I think, and in many ways he was emphasising the more cautious mode within the European response when it comes to tariffs. I think the Taoiseach Simon Harris told the parliamentary party meeting of Fine Gael last night that he expected that the EU would not respond immediately to any to the expected announcement of tariffs from the US on the 2nd of April. And that's very much a message that the Taoiseach was keeping to here in Brussels. He said he felt that was a wise decision, and he said that he felt that it was right to draw breath. He was emphasising as well the point that nobody in Europe wants tariffs. He was asked particularly pertinent questions when it comes to Ireland, most notably about the pharma sector, the possibility of firms relocating their operations away from Ireland in light of kind of reshoring efforts that are underway by the US government. He seemed to downplay that a little bit, suggesting it was a more complex picture than might initially present. And also he was asked about the drinks industry. And while he was cautious enough in his wording there, I think reading between the lines, you can discern a fairly clear Irish concern about the fact that bourbon is seen as one of the likely things that the EU would tariff in retaliation. And that obviously would invite fairly strong tariff response, as already been flagged by the Trump White House, which could really present an existential challenge for many parts of that sector operating in Ireland.
And in the context of all of this and the effect it would have on the Irish economy, he was asked whether we'd need a cost of living package in the budget. So what did Micheál Martin have to say in response to that question?
He stuck to the fairly well-established government line on further cost of living interventions, which is that it's not something that they're minded to do. He was putting a big focus on operating within the normal kind of fiscal parameters, within the budget framework as it used to be, and moving away from these multi-billion euro once-off interventions that have become a feature of every budget since, I think, Budget 2023 announced in October of 2022. So if there is an economic shock coming towards Ireland arising from a fugitive trade and tariff war, it doesn't seem to have changed the base case thinking within the government at this stage, which is that they still want to move away from those big universal once-off interventions.
Jack, thank you very much. Jack Horgan-Jones there, political correspondent with the Irish Times. Well, as I said, I'm also joined by Emmanuel Shaz, who's a journalist based in Kyiv in Ukraine. And Emmanuel, we know that President Zelensky will join this summit via video link. He's going to update the leaders on his phone call with Donald Trump yesterday. What's the reaction been in Ukraine to that phone call?
Well, there's a lot of caution and also skepticism. Ukrainians have been really disappointed by Washington's stance that seemed so far to align with Russia's goal in Ukraine, although the US had been Ukraine's strongest ally so far. So people still want to believe that Washington will support them and will get the best deal possible for Ukraine. But the trust has been broken. And of course, there's also the hope among the population that there will be some lasting ceasefire, because ultimately the one person that Ukrainians don't trust is Vladimir Putin, whom they do not believe will keep his word, whatever is said to Americans. And we've seen over the past two nights, since that partial ceasefire was seemingly being agreed upon by Putin, Ukraine has been heavily hit by further waves of drones and missiles sent by Russia.
But now today, when it comes to that meeting and that video link and the words that will be spoken by Vladimir Zelensky, he will surely be very much focused on what he needs from Europe in terms of support for that ceasefire.
Absolutely. And he was really clear last night, President Zelensky, when he said that this was a fruitful, maybe the most fruitful conversation so far he had with Donald Trump. So there's still hope there. And of course, there will be hope as well during talks with EU leaders in Brussels. What Ukraine really needs and what Volodymyr Zelensky will say to the leaders would be that they need security guarantees. And of course, what Ukrainians would like to see would be military personnel, EU military personnel coming to guarantee that a further attack by Russia, should a ceasefire, should a peace be reached, wouldn't happen. But Volodymyr Zelensky also said that this needed more talks and more coordinations, because different EU states have different proposals when it comes to sending soldiers. Some want to send soldiers directly on the front line, others on the border or in a maritime area. So there's a variety of proposals that need to be coordinated in order to ensure that this could be seen as a security guarantee and be put into place.
Did he give more detail last night in his address when it comes to what Donald Trump had to say about the security guarantee?
Well, one form of security guarantee, for example, would be for the U.S. to protect some of Ukrainian energy infrastructure. First, regarding a partial ceasefire that would be related to a no strike on civilian infrastructure, energy infrastructure, Ukraine would want to provide a list of critical infrastructure that needs protection. And then on the American side, Donald Trump hinted at a wish from America to get a hold on, for example, nuclear power plants such as the one in Zaporizhia that is currently occupied by Russia. And if indeed America, the US had an economic interest to protect energy infrastructure, of course, that could mean more protection also for Ukrainians who live close to those energy infrastructures and depend on them.
And you mentioned Ukraine is still under heavy attack from Russia overnight, which seems bizarre in the context of this supposed deal that was worked out between Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, but yet the bombs keep coming.
The bombs can keep coming, and actually Ukrainians, you know, they were under no illusion that that they would stop arriving. Already on the night of the ceasefire, there were waves of drones and missiles striking Ukraine, and last night again, over 170 drones were launched against Ukraine. There were five people killed and many injured in various parts of the country following those strikes. You have to keep in mind that those drones, most of them are being either intercepted or lost and rerouted through electronic warfare. But even when they fall, when they're intercepted, their debris cause damage, can injure or kill people. And we see on the ground that even if on paper the Kremlin seemingly agreed to a ceasefire partially, well, it doesn't have any consequence so far for Ukrainian population.
Emmanuel, thank you very much for joining us. That's Emmanuel Shaz there in Kyiv. Dan O'Brien, chief economist at the Institute of International European Affairs, is with us too. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Claire.
So listen, on the subject of tariffs, we had Simon Harris, the Taoiseach, talking to his own party last night, the parliamentary party in Fine Gael, saying that the tariffs are expected, as we know, to be announced by the states at the start of April. Then the EU, he said, will respond mid-April. What's that response likely to be? Because we heard Jack Horgan-Jones telling us a little earlier that the Taoiseach in the last few minutes going into the summit was very cautious on the response that should and could come from the EU.
I think there's a whole menu of options on the table in Brussels, depending on what the US does. One of the difficulties dealing with the US under the current administration is that it is predictably unpredictable. We really don't know what's going to come. At a worst case scenario, it is going to be something unprecedented, even bigger than in 1930, when the US went protectionist in a very big way and the subsequent Great Depression was made worse. So what has been indicated is it could be even bigger than that. But with Donald Trump, one never knows. So the European Commission has got a huge menu of options on its table, ready to respond to what the Americans do. So we don't know what the Americans will do, and we don't know what the European response will do, because that is dependent on what the Americans do.
I'm sure you're looking at the markets, though, and you know the concerns about the American economy coming from voters. Could that scenario soften Donald Trump's plans on EU tariffs?
It's a very unusual position for anyone, including myself, to be in, to be actually hoping that the markets and the US economy doesn't do well in the short term, in the hope that it would soften these quite unprecedented measures that the US is proposing. We just don't know. There's been a recent indication from the US president that the pain for the American economy will be worth the gain. He wasn't saying that in the past. He's now saying that to reduce America's dependency on imported goods from the rest of the world, it is actually worth American pain in the short term. Now, that is a very kind of different message than he sent before. But if he genuinely believes that, that means he's going to go very hard on trying to reduce imported goods into the United States. That means he's going to put very high tariffs on European and other goods, as he's already done to Canada, Mexico, and China. So the possibility is that this is a very big and damaging package from a European perspective, because it will make our goods going into America more expensive, and that will hit us very hard.
Now, coming back to the summit, and the focus was supposed to be on economic growth and, you know, sparking this revolution in the EU economy. Now it's defence topping the agenda. I mean, does that mean that we here in Ireland lose out because of that agenda shift? Because the defence renaissance could bypass us.
The word historic is used a lot, and usually not in the correct context. We're living now in the past couple of weeks in a truly historic moment. The notion that a bunch of Eurocrats start talking about military spending and weapons and rearmament is somebody's been watching the EU for 30 years. It is absolutely extraordinary to see people in Brussels talking about guns and rearmament. But that is where we are. That is how dangerous a situation we're in now. That is how grave the threat to Europe is now, that you get the Eurocrats talking about rearming Europe. That's going to affect us. With the part of this, we're in a political and economic union with the rest of Europe, and we are going to be a part of that. Now, we have a big decision to make as to how much we're going to be a part of that. We can sit back and say, no, we're not having anything to do with this. That will have many consequences, political, but as you mentioned, economic as well. So if we exclude ourselves from this, it's going to mean that we're not going to be part of the rearmament drive in Europe, and that will affect our economy. We'll be excluding ourselves from that whole area. And, you know, I know, and as an economist, I think it's terrible that we're having to rearm, but that's our reality. We have to do this to protect ourselves. It's like an insurance policy.
But as a militarily neutral country, how do we include ourselves?
Well, that's for the country to decide. I have to say, Claire, I actually, some people call for a referendum on neutrality. I really think maybe it will be the best thing to do, to have some sort of, you know, have some sort of vote on this, so we can have, you know, this is a historic moment for us in Ireland and for our continent. And, you know, things are radically changing, and we can get on board the European bus on this, and it's the top item on the agenda. It's where Europe is going. We can stay out of the bus and decide that, but perhaps the best way to do it is get a referendum, have a really big national debate about what we want to do, whether we want to get on board with the rest of Europe on defence. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the way to go.
Are you suggesting that that might be the best way for us to go, to get on the defence spending bus?
In my view, there is absolutely no doubt we are complete. This is completely different from the Cold War. The Cold War back in that ended in 1990. We were just this sort of backwater little island that is not connected. We were the poorest country in northwestern Europe. We weren't plugged into things. We were just not important. Now we are a hub in the transatlantic economy when it comes to tech, when it comes to pharmaceuticals. With the European Union is totally different from the way it used to be. We are part of the single currency. It's a completely different scenario. If we want to tell our European partners that, hey, no, we're staying out of this and we're not going to be involved and we're not going to defend ourselves and we're not going to help with European defence, I think we'd be, turning our backs on, we don't have America to depend on anymore. In my view, we have to go there and get on that bus. But maybe we need to have a referendum is the only way we can get a national conversation going on what we actually want as a people, as a nation.
Well, it sounds to me like that's a bell ringing for a conversation to come. Dan, thank you very much for being with us. That's columnist Dan O'Brien there. A reminder, Dermot Bannon will be on with us later. So if you have any questions about renovations or retrofits, do get them in now. Don't miss your chance. We'll have plenty of time to go through those questions with Dermot. You can WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32. 51551 is the text number, or you can email todaycb@rte.ie. But coming up after the break, new hyperscale data centre are being planned for Ireland.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.